The message will come in just a minute. John, get ready to play the second, the one that's the longest of the two. Parashat Lech Lecha, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, begins with the following words in Hebrew. Bayomer Adonai el Abraham, Lech Lecha. In English, it's translated in the Tree of Life Bible. Then Yah Adonai said to Abraham, because it wasn't called not Abraham yet, just Abram. Get going. But did you know that as unique as that call was, I want to share with you the call of Yeshua to begin his ministry towards his apostles. I'm going to use the Hebrew of the Dutiller version of Matthew. Sometimes it's called the Hebrew Matthew. In the Hebrew Matthew of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, it reads the following. Yeshua said to them, and he's speaking to two sons of Zebedee. So that's why it's in plural. Bayomer Yeshua Elechem Lehu. Bayomer Yeshua Elechem Lehu. Okay? And the Lehu there is the verb. Lehu, because it's plural. Abraham is singular. He's speaking to Abraham. But he's speaking here to the two sons of Zebedee, so the verb has to become plural. So if there had been two people in Genesis, it would not have been Lech Lecha, but Lech Lehu. Well, how about that? And he said to them, get up and go with me. We translated, get up and follow me. In everyday language, here in North Florida, we would say, yo lehu. Yo lehu. That's what we would say. Y'all need to lehu. Not lech, which is second, but who. Play that second. One, John. Common Gators. Lehu! Come on, Gators! Lech Lehu! Come on, Gators, in Hebrew. Lech Lehu! Here it is! We got the same call here in Gainesville, especially. Look, that part, the last part, is almost never spoken aloud enough that people hear. Play that other part. Let's hear it from the stadium. Lech Lehu, come on, Gators, get up and go. Do you know that's exactly the words that was given to Abraham? Lech Lehu, come on, Gators, Lech Lehu, that's the name of my message. Come on, Gators, Lech Lehu, get up and go. That's what it means, Lech Lehu, get up and go. It doesn't mean just get up. It means get up and go. And go to the place that I'm going to show you. That's what it's translated. So here, let me fill in the blanks for you. This is almost an identical structure in Hebrew to the call of Abraham. Doesn't it make sense that the call to Abraham and our call by Yeshua would be constructed almost the same in Hebrew. So here's where you begin to get a greater understanding, a greater opening. When we actually look at the original text, again, we don't have this in the Matthew that we have. It's in Greek, right? In Greek, but with the appearance of the Hebrew Matthew, so to speak, and whether you agree with the scholars or, you know, they have to have their arguments back and forth. It is or it isn't, and all those things. The one thing that does make it is that it uses constructions that only the Hebrew would use. If you were to translate backward from English to Hebrew or from Greek back to Hebrew, you wouldn't catch those things. They wouldn't be in there. So let me record what the Bible says happened after Vayomer Adonai, okay, at the beginning, El Abraham to Abraham, Lech Lecha, verse 4. So Abram went. It means he got up and went. He got up and went. Got up and go. He did it. Just as Adonai had spoken to him. Just as Adonai had spoken to him. I wanted to emphasize that for you. That Abram got up just as Adonai had spoken to him. My point today is that we got to get up and go, Gators. Okay, the battle is not over. We just got a reprieve. We got the upper hand in this thing. We have the opportunity to actually do something. We got the ball, she said. Let's score a touchdown. I mean, she's been with me 47 years. She's learning something about football. To understand that much. Let me continue with this. Also, Lot went with him. What does that mean? The family went with him. Even the cousins, okay? The family goes with him. It's not just that Abram gets up and says, okay, Sarah, you stay over there. No, everybody's going. But not just, you know, whatever the size of the family, it's going. So if you got a cat, we don't anymore. And we're actually moping around the house for the cat that is no more. I'm not repenting of how many times I gave him a hard time, but he's not there anymore. But if the cat was there and it was time to go to another place where the Lord would show me, we'd take the cat. I may take hers. You're not going to leave them. I know John and Michelle are going to take that little runt thing that they have, that, you know, Mexican dog. And I know that Clore and they're going to take that. They're not going away without, when the Lord said to Abram, get up and go, it was a call to the entire family. Please listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going to go all that much further into this. It was a call to the family. The Lord's calling our family, our call Simcha family. Because we're the Gators from the University of Florida. Da-na-na-na. Come on, Gators. Da-na-na-na. Lech lecha, lech lechu. Let's get up and go. And that means not just, it means everybody. It means your family as well. Now, it says, now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, here's the rest of it. Abram took Sarah, his wife, Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions they had acquired, and the people they had acquired in Haran. Oh, this is almost like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. It'll be the same kind of idea. And they left to go to the land of Canaan. When they entered the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land as far as a place called Shechem. 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 It will appear again. It will appear so many times. It will appear so many times in the Bible. The first place that Abraham in the land of Canaan goes is Shechem. They travel from Shechem to Sukkot. Oh, well, that's in Exodus. As far as Moreh's big tree. Morah and Moreh. Who are Morah and Moreh? Ye Hebrew students of mine. Morah and Moreh. Teacher female, teacher masculine. Kind of interesting. I find this really interesting. That this word is the word that we use for teacher in modern Hebrew. Morah and Moreh. Moreh's big tree. So teachers have a tree. And they have a big tree when the sphere of influence as they teach begins to get beyond generations. Morah. Your generations here and in Israel are already happening. Morah. Moreh, where he go? Joe. Your generations, you're expanding way beyond generations. I go countries, you go states. And you got a multitude, it seems like to me, of grandchildren in North Carolina. You got a bunch of grandchildren in Pennsylvania, and you have a bunch of grandchildren in Virginia. So the influence of the big tree, of the teaching that you've done, it expands and it goes beyond just you and Joe and your three kids, but now through generations. Look, this is what happened at the beginning of Abraham. Similarly, Peter and Andrew's response. What was Peter and Andrew's response? Well, you had to go to the gospel to find that, right? So in Matthew chapter 4, Peter and Andrew's response. They're brothers. So there's a doubles and doubles in here. You know, just John and Yaakov, called, you know, James. And there's Peter and Andrew, who are brothers. Okay? Similar, Peter and Andrew's response, it says it was immediate. They had an immediate response. The immediate response, as recorded in the TLV, is they got themselves out of the boat. The immediate response was, you know, like, so the call was, get thee out. Like, that's, you can read in the King James what it says, lech lecha. Get thee out. In other words, I'm not getting you out. You're going to have to get yourself out. You're going to have to get going here. And the Bible records that Abram did that. But it also records that Peter and Andrew did the same thing. Ah, getting interesting now. You're almost excited. You guys are almost excited now. Then Yeshua saw Jacob, James, and John. No, it's actually Yaakov and Yohanan, but Zebedee's sons working with their father. And they also heard the words from Yeshua. Lech lehu. Y'all get out. Verse 22 says, immediately. This is in the Bible. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's Matthew 4, verse 22. Immediately. So, as I was looking at this and say, you all got to Lehu here. No? Lehu, guys. Come on, Gators, get up and go. Just came to me. I said, I wonder if I can find it. Well, yeah, there were a lot of them. But I could only find two that fit for us here. The others had too much other stuff going on. I just wanted for you to hear it. The famous University of Florida Gator cheer ends with, come on, Gators, get up and go. You heard it in the group that was in the stadium. So I say to us today, we are in Gainesville, Florida. We're not somewhere else. We're here. We're where the University of Florida is. This is called Gator Country. Okay? And whether you are a Gator fan like myself and Michael are, or a Seminole fan like John Davis is, that's right. His wife is a Gator fan, and he didn't like Spurrier, so he tends to like Florida State. So don't hold that against him. Don't hold that against him, okay? I don't care. You're right here in Gainesville. We're not in Tallahassee. We're not in Texas. We're not in Mobile, Alabama. We're not in Tuscaloosa. We are here in Gainesville, Florida. So if you're going to live here, you're going to have to put up with the Gator stuff. Because this is Gator country. So the Lord's saying to Gator country, Kolsimcha, in the middle of Gator land, Gator country, come on, Kolsimcha. Get up and go. Get up and go. So what are you going to do? I hope that you begin to look at that means that we got to do something. That we could sit here and bask in the victory. Actually, I'm not smart enough to know that in order to pass an amendment, it has to pass by more than majority. So you talk about somebody fretting all day long. Because it was 50-something to 40-something. And it kept going a little here and a little there. I'm saying, we're not going to pass them. And so I went to bed thinking. And I opened the Gainesville Sun first thing. And the Gainesville Sun said, both amendments, it shows our governor having a hoedown party over the fact that Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 were both defeated. Harlan. I know, but we're going to grow. Our support's going to grow. Our support's going to grow. Our support's going to grow. Because people are not stupid. And people can see the difference between tax to death and that time. People can see the difference between $4 or $5 for gas and one something and two something. People can tell the difference between the grocery bill at Publix coming down. The grocery bill at Publix right now, it's like not the place to shop. It's really high. In some cases, it's really, really high. You find the same block of cabbage cheese, when it's on sale, that same block is $2 more at Publix. Now, do I really want to go to those other places to buy it? Actually, no. I like Publix. It's where shopping is a pleasure. If you ever go away to another country, that is, another state, before they had Publixes, like we did to Auburn, Alabama, the first thing we missed was Publix. The best they could give us was Winn-Dixie. There was one place that had nice pies. Remember that place? It's Albertsons, the other one. They had nice pie, so then we went into a pie thing. And for the first 2 months, we bought apple pie at this place on Friday afternoon before Shabbat. Got apple pie all the time. Great apple pie. It's not Albertsons. It's the other one. It's blue, the thing. But it's not Publix. It's not green. It was blue. And all those other things. I'm telling you, I get a call from Levi Samstein. Levi is in the country called Nebraska. Okay? And while he was talking with us the other night, near the end, he goes, I'd be so happy to go back to Publix. And his wife chimes in, so will I. So now we're happy that they have Publix in Atlanta. Because there was a time there wasn't. Or Publix is in Savannah. Well, there was a time it wasn't. Now all these people are finding out about Publix in Maryland's family. And we're going, yeah, right. We've been telling you. You don't know where you've been shopping until you go there. Now they have them in Virginia. They have them all over the place. They've expanded everywhere. And they continue to, people continue to say the same thing. I can get in and out of Publix in seconds. That's the number one. You go somewhere else and you get ready to check out, and it's like Walmart. There's a multitude that you got to go through. It's like those of you that waited to vote till the day of voting and not early, you have to face the multitude. I didn't face any multitude. I walked in like I owned that gun place. And especially since this is a blue state and a blue city, then I'm going to walk in here like I own this voting place. You know, like Duke. Should have put on a hat. John Wayne. Here's my card. But inside, I own the place. Yeah, we do pay their salary. Well, let me share some other things that I found as we're preparing for the future. How interesting to me that the parashat that comes right after Tuesday is the one that says, come on, Gators. Na, 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 na. Get up and go. Come on, Kol Simcha, Gators. Get up and go. Come on, Kol Simcha Seminoles or Alabama fans or whatever you are, which doesn't really matter here. Get up and go. We got to get up and go and join with the Lord in what he wants to do. Our work's not over. It just started, but sure, it's a lot better when you don't have this, like this everywhere you go. When you don't have this walking around here since the bushes blew it. I go back to pre-Obama and the Clintons, etc. So Lech Lecha is a great Torah portion. It starts the beginning. This is the first usage, the first place that we see that the Lord is going to make a deal with people. That he's going to form a nation because he tells Abraham, you know, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And the Torah doesn't record what Abraham was thinking. But he'd been playing with his wife for, he's 75 years old, and there ain't nothing happening. There'd been no children at 75 years old. So when the Lord said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you and your descendants will be like the sand of the sea and all of that. It's not like he can go and look and say, I almost think that maybe I would want to say, well, Lord, you need to tell that woman. the oven's got to work too. It's a two to tango here to make children that we don't have. But it doesn't record that he has any issue with that. they will. It actually shows up. They're not talking about it, but it will show up. It will show up. I love this stuff, man. Let me tell you some of the firsts. There's a law called the law of first mention. So in the book of Genesis, there's a lot of first mention. Would you like to know some of those great first mentions? Here it is. Just a couple of them. This is the first usage we have of Lord my God, Yah Adonai. Okay? Yah Adonai is the first usage of that in the Bible. That's in Genesis 15, verse 2. We have the phrase, he trusted Adonai, and it was credited to him as righteousness, tzedakah, which is mentioned by Paul in Romans and in other places in the book of Hebrews. That's in Genesis 15 and 6. We have a new name for Yah. It's called El Roi. El Roi in Genesis 16 and 13. Meaning, Yah Adonai of vision. Yah Adonai of vision. We also have the well of the living one. Be'er Lehi Roi. Mentioned in there, okay? And Yeshua is that well, by the way. Out of him will come living water and all those things. We have some names revealed here that were not revealed before. We have the name El Shaddai. The name El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. But literally, Shaddai means the breasted one. Like a cow, you know, like all the things in a cow to get milk. So many, many people. He has the ability to feed many at the same time with exactly what they need. That's translated for us the Almighty, okay, the all-sufficient one. We have the sign of the covenant of circumcision for the first time mentioned here, Le'ot Berid. Literally, a sign or a mark, or as we know, ot means ring. The usage of the word ot, which we sang in the Veshamru, ot hi le'olam kisheshet yamim. Okay? It is a sign between me, let me quote. If I could have Jonathan Settel's voice, I would use, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Od hi le'olam od, the sign, the wedding ring. Shabbat is a wedding ring. Shabbat is the wedding ring. It will happen in Exodus. And then we have recorded, maybe Abraham never smiled, but he laughed. Abraham laughed. Okay? That's in Genesis 17. We'll go there next week or something. But it's in Hebrew, by Yitzhak. By Yitzhak. By Yitzhak. Okay? In Hebrew, Abraham laughed. So they named the son Yitzhak. Because Abraham laughed. Why was Abraham laughing about? Because he was having a good time. Abraham was laughing like we should be laughing. We should have played the joy of the Lord is our strength and go, ha 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 ha. Right? I had a great week. I want to sing I'm free. I'm free to run. I'm free to dance. I'm free to worship God. I'm free to speak about God. I'm free to wear a MAGA hat. Oh, how many of us have been wearing MAGA hats? Did we put on a MAGA hat in 2021 after January 6th? No. Why didn't we put on a MAGA hat? We're MAGA people then. Words like it's prudent not to do so. Because people were attacking MAGA people. I live in a part of Gainesville. I'm surrounded by lots of people that have been historically pointed to say that they are anti-MAGA. I didn't know. So I became prudent. I didn't like it, but I became prudent. I didn't put a MAGA symbol in my car because somebody throws something at it. And the problem is I have insurance to fix it, but it's a pain to go get it fixed. Right? It's a pain to go get anything fixed. So we didn't. And one of the things that the media, you know, I looked at the media a little bit for the first time in 4 years just to laugh. I really did. I wanted to see the faces of CNN at 2 o'clock in the morning on just before the Trump party. I put on CNN and see what they look like. Because I remember in the year 2016 when the old guy, started to cry saying that Trump won. And then I put on ABC. I'm daring now. Let's look at NBC. Let's look at MSNBC. Let's look at all these places and see what the spirit is. Then I look at Fox and they were like, they were like this, kind of making fun of all that. I was tempted, but I remember the scripture that says, "Don't laugh when God spanks." So I didn't, but I watched it. According to the great Jewish commentator Maimonides Rambam, the guy that wrote the 13 principles of faith, of which we sing Anima Ami, there is a principle in understanding the Torah's narrative concerning the patriarchs, and it begins right now. That principle called Leavot Siman Lebanim Kol Masheira. Leavot Siman Lebanim Kol Masheira. Which means whatever happened to the patriarchs is a portent, which means it's the future. It's a future glimpse of what is going to happen to their children. Well, that caught my attention. The Torah relates at length incidents like journeys and digging wells, etc. And those things are not just specific, like just like a narrative of nothing. It's a narrative that is a portent. It reminds you of the future because your children, his children, are going to be doing the same thing. Both the children of Isaac and the children of Jacob are going to do the same thing. Such is Abraham's first stopover. The first stopover is at Shechem. It turns out later that Shechem will be the first place conquered by the Jewish people. The first place that Abraham's feet touches in the promised land becomes the first place that is conquered by the children of Israel when they cross over the Jordan. You want to know about it? Here it is. Okay? Genesis 34, verse 25. That's hundreds of years before Israel gains full possession of the land. It says that in Shechem, Abraham prayed there, and the Lord answered him. "I will give thee, Abraham, this land to your seed." You know, sometimes I think that, Lord, I've been laboring really good. I raised good kids, but it's like they're getting all the goodies. "I will give this land to your seed," not to you, to your seed. So there he built an altar to Adonai, who had appeared to him. You know what the name of that place is? Let me say it in Southern. Yehovah Shema. Yah Shema. It's one of the names of Adonai. He appeared there. Shema appeared. These prayers are now in place for Jacob. Abraham prays a prayer in Shechem by the tree of, you know, the tree of the generation, the tree of the teaching of the generations, if you like. Jacob's children, Bnei Israel, who will fight against the city that's there called Shechem. That's where Dinah's stuff happened. The next place mentioned after Shechem is called Ai. I thought that was awesome. It's Ai. Okay? So, I mean, they had Ai in the Bible in here back then, okay? So the second place is Ai. This is the first place conquered by Joshua. So, look at the steps of Abraham. And you look at where he prays or whatever happens that the Torah bothers to tell us. It just so happens that you can mark it. Don't mark my Bible, but you can mark Maryland's. You get some yellow thing and mark it and say, okay, this is important. Ai, this is important. Check him, but not touch my Bible. Because I don't like my Bible to be have any marks in it. I like it to look as new 30 years later as it did the day that I got it. I'm weirdo, okay? He intercedes in this place called Ai at the very site that his descendants will be faced with a potential catastrophe of the sin of Achan. How about that? I'm persuaded, therefore, that we have a decision to make today, which is what are we going to preach now that the election's over? What are we going to do? Lech Lecha. Get going. I have the conviction that the Lord is requiring from you and I the same identical answer to the same identical question posed to Abraham. Lech lecha me'aretzcha. Literally, get going from your familiar. I preached on this before, 20 years ago. We must do the same thing today, even today. We need to get out of our comfort zone and get out of that which is familiar, whether that be the traditions of our forefathers or whatever it is, the vestiges. Okay. See the trumpet player over there. His mother teaches English, so he learned pretty good English. Yeah, let's see. Well, he speaks English with his trombone. Even out of the vestiges of our mother country, when we consider Genesis 12, 1 through 3, then let me point another thing from a long time ago. I preached this, but I wanted to bring it up again. What was the order of disengaging? Okay. Well, I mean, what were the steps that Abraham took in order, the order of disengaging? I think the order is inspired too. Yeah. Divinely inspired. Moses didn't know any about this. Moses is taking dictation in the book of Genesis. First, he wants our connection to our homeland. Me'aretzcha. To break that connection. I know we're rejoicing because we're Americans. And America won a glorious victory. But I've got to do some more work as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's what I have to do. America, for all its good, it has also instilled in us a certain degree of rebellion. complacency and change. We've got to deal with what we inherited, my friends. Frankly, resistance to change is in here. Frankly, things in this world have changed. And life demands change. And we cannot continue in the same mindset as a week ago, even. The next level is from your kindred, mimoladetcha. Literally, homeland, country of birth, motherland. Yah Adonai is not interested in our kindred. He's not interested in our allied, germane, similar, related, alike, associated, which is what that word means. In other words, we really are birds of a feather, people. Birds of a feather fly together, you know, kind of thing. He's interested in giving us a new lineage, not the lineage of America. We have that. We were born with it if you were born here, or you got it if you were born in Puerto Rico because it's part of the U.S. Sorry, guys. If you don't like it, just talk to somebody else. We were born citizens because Puerto Rico belongs to the U.S. But he wants to give us a new lineage. Lastly, out of our earthly father's house, Mebayit Abicha, it says in the scripture, from our immediate family circle. This means that we are to exchange the familiar traditions of our upbringing and the fond and persistent memories of our youth growing up in our home and trade them for the images in things of his kingdom, which is what we're needing to talk about. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not because Trump won, because Yeshua won. Let me also say the following. Yeshua was never seeking large crowds. He wasn't looking for a large crowd. And this is what is recorded for us. It was done almost in silence. Okay, so it's being recorded by Matthew, and it's the call to Peter and Andrew, and the call to Yohanan, John, and James, Jacob. What was Yeshua after? Well, it says in Matthew chapter 4, his disciples came to him. What Yeshua was after was for those disciples, those that he called to come to him. He's still calling for the same thing. So now I'm sounding like my wife. We need to get close to God again. We have been so separated from God. In everything that's been going on, we've been fighting these wars and whatever. Our hands are filled with blood of all the fights that we've been doing lately against this, that, and the other. We need to come to him. He's interested in having fellowship with us. The job of a disciple is to learn everything that his teacher, his master, his more, had to teach. They learn the stories and the lessons that the teacher told. They learn to eat the foods that the teacher ate. And they learn to practice the things of the Torah the way Yeshua practiced the things of the Torah. They learn how to keep Shabbat the same way Yeshua kept Shabbat. They learn how to practice tzedakah, righteousness, the way the teacher practiced it. They learn how to keep Adonai's commands. Well, the word keep is the word shomer. They learn how to shomer, which is guard, Adonai's commands, because the teacher was doing that. The disciples' goal was to become like his teacher. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Thus it is written for us in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. When the disciple was fully trained, he eventually became the teacher and passed the teaching to disciples of his own, which in turn became the teachers and raised more disciples of their own. From the days of Abraham, this was the method. Yeshua had a goal for his disciples. And he said the goal, he stated it near the end in the Gospels, to be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. Not to be any other kind of witness, be his witnesses. In other words, they didn't have to go back and study Torah and you know all those things. Just be Yeshua's witness. The Holy Spirit will help you with the rest of it. Let me make a statement. I believe that Yeshua is the greatest Torah Shomer of all history, in all scripture. In other words, he kept the Torah better than anybody else. Isn't that how we say it? He kept the Torah. He kept the Torah so we don't have to. That's what people teach out there, which is baloney. Okay? That's not what that meant. Look, you remember the statement? This just came. You remember the statement that Yeshua said, in this world you're going to have tribulation and trouble and all those things. Right? So what was the advice? Rejoice, for I have overcome. I never understood that really well. Why do I mean rejoice that he has overcome? Dadgummit, because he overcame Satan, so I can. That's the deal. The deal is when all these things come, like it's been coming for all these years, then we can rejoice that we can be like Yeshua. He overcame. We're not afraid of Satan because he overcame. Let us view this first principle teaching session and observe the Shomer. In other words, open up Matthew chapter 4 and take a look, and then consider reading Genesis 12 and Matthew 4 like together this week and see if you find any other similarities between the beginning of the Jewish people, the beginning of the Jewish race, the beginning of God creating a people, and the beginning of Yeshua creating the ecclesia. I wasn't going to use the word church, sorry. Unlike the world's perception of Bible teaching in our day, Yeshua is doing, you will see, Yeshua doing a Jewish rabbi thing, even in Matthew chapter 4, at the beginning. He's raising disciples. He's training them in the ways of Torah, Derek HaTorah, because he is HaDerek, the way, the truth, the life. Doing Na'aseh v'Nishma. See if you don't see Yeshua doing Na'aseh v'Nishma. See if you don't see Yeshua establishing the kingdom, because the king is here. HaMelech is here. So that the disciples could indeed start receiving the benefits of the kingdom, which is called the Malchut. So, when I preach this, I call it thoroughly Jewish Yeshua, using the idea of thoroughly modern Middle East. Yeah, I used that I remember talking, playing the music of thoroughly modern Millie with his thoroughly Jewish Yeshua. He's not doing an evangelistic thing. He's doing a Jewish thing. Look, here's what he's doing. This is deep. He is, quote, commanding his Talmidim. In the Hebrew, in the scripture, is children. Commanding his children after him to keep Derech Adonai by doing tzedakah u'mishpat. That's what Adonai said. That's what Yah Adonai said, because this is in Genesis 15 when the incarnate Yeshua appears to Abraham with two other people. And he makes the following statement. The greeting to deity is Yah Adonai. Yah Adonai, after greeting Abraham, you can read about it in chapter 15, but I've got this memorized. It's always been part of me. After Abraham and all that happened, Okay? And Yeshua is with those two angels, and they're going down to, in other words, Abraham lost the bet, and you know, save it for just 10, but that's it. He got to the 10 level, right? And he's not going to destroy those 10 righteous ones, right? You all remember that kind of thing? Okay, well, here's what it says. This is deity speaking. Yeshua, if you like. Yah Adonai. For I have made myself known to Abraham so that he will command his sons and daughters and his household after him to keep, Shomer, the way of Adonai, Haderech Adonai, by doing righteousness and justice, Tzedakah U'Mishpat, so that Adonai may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So the deal with Abraham being able to get a visitation from Adonai and allow him to intercede for Sodom and Gomorrah over his cousin being there and all those things is only because he did the work he was supposed to do with his family. He did the work he was supposed to do with his family. And he empowered his children to be warriors. He took 300 of his youth and routed the king of Sodom and all those other people. And then they came over and wanted to buy him out. And he wouldn't take anything from them. Because then if I take something from you, you'll think that it was me who did it. And I didn't do it. It was the Lord who did it. But who did the Lord use? What was Abraham's army? It says his banim, his children. 300 of them. I thought he only had one. Okay. I'm going to wind it down. You guys are falling asleep, and rightly so. We kept you here too long. In Matthew chapter 5 and 6, right after Matthew 4, okay? Yeshua calls his disciples the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a menorah so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is what we need to leave here to do. So I'm asking us to lech lecha individually and lech lechu collectively. Come on, Gators. Come on, Kol Simcha, get up and go. What are we going to do? It's really, really simple. We're going to let our light shine before men in such a way that they will glorify their Father in heaven. It's not about Trump. It's not about MAGA. It's not about the red. It's not about the Republicans. It's not about any of those. It's first and foremost, it's about God. The reason we support the Republicans is because they're supporting God's agenda better than the Democrats were. Not because they're saints, because they're not. And what I shared earlier, I had the privilege of the other day of looking at Warren Thornton's website. And I was shocked of some of the pictures that I saw. I knew about the guy that runs the Supreme Court. And I knew about others in the government back in 2020 and 2021. I didn't know how extensive this was. The reason somebody had said that they couldn't afford to let Donald Trump win is because if the DD list and the Epstein list becomes public, some careers are going to be over. Because it doesn't matter if you're left or right, north, south, east, west. If you are molesting or abusing, or anything having to do with children, but the only thing they let you do is kill them in the womb, right? But the other doesn't go at all. I was shocked. I don't recognize very many people because I don't follow celebrities. The only celebrities I remember is the Duke. You know, that's about it. Oh, I do remember Wonder Woman. Okay? I mean, I'm really dated. You see all this hair? I'm old. When I watch TV, they had to Leave It to Beaver in the afternoons. When I watch TV, there was a from North Carolina, huh? And they had that show. You know, and I remember Green Acres. That's all. The last major thing I remember was Hee-Haw. And I do remember the song, you know, Doom, Despair, and Agony of Me. So, if you're in my house, Marilyn is a salt person. She can't stand it. There's no salt in her food. We are also to add flavor to the earth because we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. A little bit of salt can make something palatable, not a little bit of luck. With a little bit of salt, it can go well. Okay? Not a little bit of luck, a little bit of salt. We're to be the force for good and righteousness that balances the bitterness and ugliness of the world. I have a colleague that said that the reason that we got together, and we have been together since January 6th. And that colleague says, there has to be some of us to help those people transition when they find out the truth. He said that, and he maintained it all these 4 years plus. There has to be people to help some of these, I don't know, people that have lost it. They've lost their way. They're not bad people. All people Yeshua died for. We are to be the force for good. We are to be salt. Salt is a preservative. By the way, this is the first election that the Amish have voted. So Elon Musk was one of the ones that gave money to have vans go pick them up and take them from where they live to the voting station in Ohio. Part of the reason, I think, that they got so into it is because Vance is from Ohio. He's a senator from Ohio and a strong believer. We are here to preserve the world. There's a Jewish thought about that. It's called Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam means to repair the world. We're here to help preserve and repair the world. Because Yeshua said we are the light of the world. One little old lamp can dispel a lot of darkness. But if we put it on a lampstand, when we put it in a menorah, it says it gives light to the whole room. So we are the force that can help enlighten the whole generation that has been lost in wokeness and everything else. But what we have to have is what we have to have. We're going to do Jewish evangelism. So did the Rebbetzin said. Or so did Elisma will tell you. What is it that broke? Was it the eloquence? Was it this? Was it that? No. What was it? It was because genuinely We express love. We shared in love. We express love. If they disagreed, we didn't start a fight. We didn't even extrovertly use the name Yeshua all that much. It's not that we're ashamed of him. But when they ask you, why are you different? Then you can say, okay, well, you gave me permission. And now I can tell you what it is. Is my Jewish rabbi inside is forcing me to be this way. Could it really be so simple? Our saltiness and our light are the key. I don't have anything new. It's all here. It's the same thing. What the Lord is looking for is still the same thing. Do we have a crop of disciples, children, my fellow called Simchans people? I'm going to use called Simkians. That work? My fellow called Simkians, okay? We need to be able to express together that we can do tzedakah umishpat, that we can do justice and righteousness. In Hebrew, by the way, tzedakah is always attached to Torah. Tzedakah is always attached to Torah. So if we keep the Torah, we will keep our saltiness and our light will shine before men. So are we ready? John, play either one of the tapes. Jacob, play one of those tapes. The second one sounds better than the first one, so listen to this. The 9-minute one or whatever. I forgot. So here I got this plan, this great exit with this and all that, and I forgot to tell the technology. They're not reading my mind. What's wrong with them? You know, they need to read my mind. You know? Either one. I'm done. Okay, so it took an hour. You know what this is? I know what it is. Spirit wants some people to testify. It's not my fault no more. So, I got text from somebody, who you are, come testify. Oh, it's John. He's now a Gator fan. Hallelujah. I know. You're going to get me.
I really can't believe you went there. Then my little Mexican dog?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's called a Chihuahua. Isn't
wow.
It? You know, no? I mean, he looks like a Chihuahua. What do I know?
Wow.
I don't know anything about dogs.
Wow. You know a lot about cats, though.
No,
you don't like them.
No.
I can see. Okay. Yep. And everything's well. And yesterday we were having a conversation, Sam and I, about this time frame that we're in. Okay. Understand this. The first time that he got into office, we all thought, man, this is it. God's going to change the world. And the Almighty did change
some things.
Some things.
Fell apart.
But the church failed to continue their support, not just for Trump, but for God's plan. Okay? So we got an evil dictator to help us to see where we failed. Okay? The Father didn't fail. We failed. We failed as a praying people. Okay? So now we have this chance of a lifetime to either change the world for God or have another 4 years of failure. Okay? We can celebrate today. Hallelujah. We can celebrate. But as Rabbi and Sam and all of the other brothers have said, there's work to do.
Amen.
You cannot pull your hands off the plow. You got to keep your hands to the plow. Be steady. Be knowledgeable. Don't be deceived. And continue to lift up the incoming cabinet staff that fills the White House. And the stuff that they uncover will blow your mind. Okay? They will uncover what you and I have seen, but we haven't seen it all. But God has. The Father has seen all of the evilness that our country has done. And the war, the spiritual warfare, has really just begun. Because, see, he can't get reelected. So he only has 4 years. And I want you as a praying congregation to make sure that you pray that he gets there. Okay? Mm. Because he's still a target. Okay? And we are still a target. All right? So do that.
Amen.
And we'll be free more.
Amen. Somebody else. Was there somebody else that had to testify?
The man that's walking up.
Yeah. I can't believe you asked people to testify because I told Madeline about half an hour ago. I need to really say something. And I'm very much a part of the Jewish community and the American Jewish community. And I was at synagogue last night. And this synagogue is wonderful because they don't talk politics. I know where they're at. And but individually, nobody talks to me about politics. The rabbi spoke and said that you know, most of us are really in pain today. And he gave a really good message as how they are supposed to respond. But even before the election, I really had a heart for those, especially in my community, who have been very much propagandized and like really have a shield of darkness over them. And we really need to keep that in mind and pray, because there are people who are really in pain and really suffering, as I kind of did 4 years ago. And I wish that I could just put my arms around. I was thinking last night, I wish I could just put my arms around them and tell them it's going to be okay. It's not what you've been told. And but I know I couldn't, because they would immediately see me as the enemy, and even though they know me. So I just, for me, I just want to keep that in mind, you know, to walk, you know, as a ambassador of MAGA. If you want to wear a MAGA hat, don't be screaming in their faces. Just as we are a light for our Lord, you know, that we need to be a light.
Amen.
For these people, and just love them and understand that they are in darkness. They're wonderful people who love God, and they're in darkness. So we just need to keep that in mind.
Amen.
That's all I think.
All right. Anyone else?
I just want to pile on to that, because it's so easy right now, particularly with I would call it euphoria or celebrations that are going on with the people that have worked so hard, you know, and have been really, really dreading. And as you pointed out, there are just as many, not just as many, but there's a significant part of the population been lied to. And so the thing to remember in your personal lives and our daily walk, there's a way to put the light out. And anything that we engage in that's not edifying and glorifying to Yadonai will put your light out. That includes as much fun as it's been, you know, monetizing the memes that belittle the people that are in pain. Okay? And by monetizing, I mean watching the clickbait. Those are things that aren't edifying and glorifying. They're not constructive, and they don't show your light to them. It's belittling, and it's demeaning. And as a person, as Yeshua's representative,
we're not going to pay evil for evil. That's not what they mean to do it to us. We're not going to do it.
We got to rise above and be as he was, a servant unto death.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? I mean, you're free to go, right? You're free to run, and you're free to go. Not my fault this all started. Holy Spirit.
I'm a nurse, and I felt like taking off this last year, I felt like the Lord was dealing with me to be in a season of prayer. And I was also a poll worker. And just being there, You feel a lot of darkness, and I'm nobody of myself, but I have Yeshua in me. I have the light in me, and so just being there, I felt like I was doing what the Lord had called me to do, and I had seen that movie, Sounds of Freedom, and it just really hurt my heart, you know, when to think about that. You know, the evil that's there, and who's the one that's supplying all this? This is America, you know, and the lobbyists, all the evil that's there, we have no idea, you know, but we have to do our part and pray and be the light.
Amen. Go.
I came to honor Tony and Marilyn. My husband is with the grandchildren this weekend, so their mom and dad are traveling, so I'm here by myself at the call of the Lord. When you follow the shepherd, he has all kinds of wonderful things in store you didn't know when you got up in the morning. And I've been staying, Eddie and I have been staying connected through the internet with y'all. You don't know that because we're not, I'm not tech savvy. I can't say hi to you while you're online. But I came to honor a family, really. I know Big Brother isn't here right now. I came to honor a family that has been staying the course for so long, faithfully. And I didn't want to miss an opportunity to come and say, what incredible mentors you are. Not just to Edward and I and Olivia. She's married now with three kids. Wow. Dogs, cats, bunnies. They have a farm in their apartment. I call it the affarmment. Hi, Jeannie. Baby doula now, that's awesome. But this family has been faithful to God, faithful to Yeshua, faithful to Hashem, faithful to the people of God here in Gainesville for a very, 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 very long time. And I'm one of your former students coming back to honor the professor, not in robotics at UF. Wanted to be, couldn't get the grades to go. But I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For being faithful.
To him God be the glory. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen to God be the glory. Shalom.
Shalom. Awesome. I remember her wedding. Anyone else? If not, we're going to do kiddush and dismiss. Last chance. Going once. Going twice, gone. No, oh, you got it.